call the meeting to order. We do have a quorum. And members, typically what we would do is we'd go around and make introductions, but I'm told our special guests are on a very tight timeframe. So we're going to move the FFAers up to the top of the schedule. So if everybody's okay with that, so we can keep them on schedule as well. So I guess who's coming down to speak for the group today? If you'd like to make your way to the podium there, to the desk. And welcome. And so please state your name for the record, who you represent, and then go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Wendy Bauman, and I'm serving as the 2016-2017 Minnesota FFA State Secretary. Welcome. I'm originally from the Kirkhoven-Murdoch-Sumberg FFA chapter, and I'm a freshman at the University of Minnesota studying agricultural education. My teammates are currently on an international leadership seminar in South Africa, but prior to their departure, we released our theme for the year. It is All In, Our Legacy Starts Now. We chose this theme because we know that the nearly 11,000 FFA members in the state of Minnesota have what it takes to really be all in. They have a dedication for authentic leadership. They have a commitment to personal growth. They have a drive for career success. One of the strategies that we have here in Minnesota FFA to help students develop their potential for all of these things is the Ag Policy Experience. With me today, I have two FFA members that have been participating that would like to share their experiences.
Thank you. Again, state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair and Committee, I am Martha Menning. I am a member of the Triton FFA chapter in Southeast Minnesota, and I am a 10th grader. Some of the things that we've done at Ag Policy Experience, on Sunday, we learned how to be authentic leaders and how to utilize this past the conference and beyond. We also learned how to be advocates for our industry and for FFA. And yesterday, we got to go to the Minnesota Department of Agriculture to listen to an ag policy panel. We also got to tour the Capitol in its new restorement, and we also got to meet with Chair Hamilton and Vice Chair Tim Miller. That was followed by watching the House of Representatives floor session and meeting with the governor. And last night, many of you were there, we got to have a reception with elected officials and leaders. And today, we just finished up our own committee hearing, and we're here with you now. The best part of the conference so far has been learning all these different tools that I know I will utilize way beyond this conference, and one of those was learning about how to be an authentic leader. And one of the surprising things that I learned or hadn't really realized before was just how much of a sacrifice this is of your time and that you do that for the people of Minnesota. So I'm so grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, state your name for the record and begin.
My name is Keegan Zimmerman. I'm from the Red Rock Central FFA chapter in Lamberton, Minnesota, and I am a junior. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, as Martha stated, we have learned many things on this ag policy experience, and one of the things that we got to do is participate in our own mock committee. So we just got done with our own mock committee where we discussed some of the bills that we submitted for review. Some of the topics included soil management, ag education in schools, property taxes, ag media, and wolf management. And we chose six of those bills that we each submitted to discuss in our mock committee. We each had 30 minutes. We had two teams, and we each had 30 minutes to discuss the bills, three each. And we only got to one in each committee because we had such a developed conversation about each bill. So in the first 30 minutes, we discussed the property tax reduction bill that one of our members proposed. So we discussed things about farmers in having to pay for school referendums more than members of the school board or members in town that participate in the school. So we had really developed conversation on this topic, and we spent most of our time on this topic for the first session. In the second session, we talked about unauthorized obtaining of ag media on farms. So one big problem that we see is ag media that has escaped into the public of abuse of animals that isn't always representative of farmers. So we really feel passionately about this, and we want to put a good face on agriculture. So we feel passionately that agriculture should have a good name, and it shouldn't be legal that media is obtained through not legal ways. There should be a good face on agriculture, and the media that is bad should be presented immediately so that these problems can be addressed. These are the two main topics that we addressed, and because we were so developed in these conversations, we did not get to the other four bills, but it was truly a good experience that we all learned a lot from.
Welcome to the legislature, right? So, Mr. Zimmerman, do you live on the north side or south side of Lamberton?
I live on the north, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I live on the north side of Lamberton, right in between Wabasso and Lamberton.
Oh, so I was going to ask you who your legislator was, but you're right out of the district in which I serve. Right?
Yeah.
So you're almost my favorite. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. We do have some questions. We do have some questions. Vice Chair Miller.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I don't have a question, but a comment. I want to commend. I sat in on the mock committee hearing before this, and I want to commend all of you for the incredible work that you did. I was very impressed. You vetted down the bills, down to what you thought was most important to talk about. And Mr. Chair, I can tell you that the bills that they were looking at were pretty much the things that we're discussing in this committee itself or other committees. I was impressed with the discussion that you had, the questions that you have, and I commend the teachers and the other people that supported you in it. I thought that this was an overall great experience, and thank you also for having us last night and then myself and the chair yesterday. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Miller. Any other questions or comments from the committee? So, well, this is a fantastic way to start off the year. Thank you so much for all that you do and for your testimony, and I hope you guys come back and see us sometime again.
Mr. Chair, I do have yes. one more item of business
Please.
To discuss with the committee.
Okay.
So, in October, you were selected by the Minnesota FFA Association to receive the Honorary American Degree, which is the highest degree that our organization can bestow on any person. So we would like to thank you for your continued support of not only the Minnesota FFA members, but also all of the members on the national level, for your continuous support and your work in all the committees that you've done. So on behalf of Minnesota FFA, we would like to thank you with this.
Well, thank you. I don't even have a speech prepared. Now, again, you know, we had said this last night when we were visiting with you. It doesn't matter when we have FFA students come and testify in front of our committee. It doesn't matter where they're located, you know, whether it's urban or rural, man or woman, you know, black, brown, or white. These are the best and the brightest that the state has to offer. And you always do us proud. So thank you so much for coming here and being with us here today. Thank you. Next on the agenda, let's go through and make some introductions with everybody. And just tell us a little bit about yourself, the area that in which you represent. And there was a longstanding tradition. I don't know who started it, whether it was Chair Greg Davids or Alan Junkie, but they also wanted to know what your high school mascot was. So why don't we carry on that tradition? That was Davids? All right, we're going to carry on that tradition because I want to know where Erdahl went to school. So, yeah. So, Rod Hamilton, I represent the southwestern part of the state, District 22B. It's all of Cottonwood County, a sliver of Redwood County, half of Jackson County, and all of Nobles County except for two townships. Largest community would be the city of Worthington. And I have two passions in the legislature, agriculture, of course, and health and human services. You know, I always said when you walk in someone else's shoes, you look at life a little bit differently, right? Those are my two passions. I graduated from Humboldt High School down in Iowa, so don't hold that against me. And we were the Humboldt Wildcats. So I'm going to jump over to Vice Chair Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Tim Miller, I represent District 17A, which is Swift, Chippewa, most of Renville County, and four townships in Kennewick County. I have seven children, and actually as of opening of session last week, I now have four grandchildren. I had a grandbaby on opening session day, so that was very exciting. Thank you very much. I really enjoy being part of this agriculture, and as I told the students yesterday, when they asked the question, what do we like most about this, and it was, for me, it's really interacting with the students, because I believe all of you are the future, and some of you will be down here in years to come. And I am a little bit off. I'm probably going to get people grown from this, because I'm from the Chicago area growing up, so I went to Walter Lutheran High School in Melrose Park, and we were the Broncos.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to move over here to the lead, Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I'm Jean Poppy. I represent District 27B, which is in southern Minnesota. It's just down the way from Representative Hamilton. The largest city is Austin, and Austin is known as Spamtown USA, so you can guess what we have there, where Hormel Foods is located there. I also serve on the Ag Policy Committee, so we'll see many of you again tomorrow. I grew up in Houston, Minnesota, on a farm outside of Houston, so I actually moved from Houston to Austin and stayed in Minnesota. So, and we are had the odd nickname of being the Hurricanes, so Houston Hurricanes, that's what I grew up with.
That's kind of catchy. So if we could just go right around, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Representative Dean Erdahl and a proud Litchfield Dragon. I represent 18A, which is Meeker County, the city of Litchfield, and then three townships in McLeod County, including half of Hutchinson. The Honorable Glenn Grunhagen has the other half, which is very confusing to some of the people of Hutchinson, but that works out pretty well. And then I have one township in Wright County, that's Cokato Township. I taught for 35 years at New London Spicer, home of the Wildcats. And also this year serve on Ways and Means, Legacy, Education Innovation, of course, this committee, and I am the chair of Capital Investment.
Thank you. So, Representative Bly.
I represent David Bly. I represent 20B, which is northern Rice County and eastern Le Sueur County, and has the communities of Montgomery, Lonsdale, and Northfield, Northfield being the largest community. And I went to high school in Northfield with the Northfield Raiders. I also taught there for 20 years, so very familiar with that mascot. The community of Northfield has as its slogan, the community of cows, colleges, and contentment. So,
which are you?
It's going to be an interesting committee. So thank you. Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And congratulations, by the way, on that very well-deserved honor.
Thank you.
My name is Paul Anderson. I'm a farmer. Live in Pope County, which is up kind of around the Alexandria area. My hometown is a little town called Starbuck, and we were the Starbuck Bucks, and we had some good teams back when they only had one class of athletics in Minnesota. I raised corn and soybeans and wheat. I used to raise cattle until the kids left home, and there went my hired help, so the cattle were kind of right behind them. Like Chair Hamilton, agriculture is my passion, also my livelihood, I guess, and I want to do what I can to make things better in Minnesota for folks that work in the production agriculture, also in the processing and the transportation side as well. So very key to our state. I enjoy being on the committee. Well, I represent the eastern half of Pope County, the western part of Stearns County, and I just found out yesterday that my district, I guess, has more dairy farms on it than any district in the state, and we're going to be coming up with some maps that to show the number of dairy farms in the state. And but Stearns County is a real juggernaut in terms of ag production. And I also represent four townships and a couple of precincts, the city of Alexandria in Douglas County. So glad to be here, and I'll never get used to rush hour down here, especially when the snow comes and it can be a mess down here. But good to be here, and good folks on the Ag Committee, and welcome to all of you.
Thank you. I'm Representative Johnson.
Thank you. I'm Clark Johnson. I live in North Mankato. I represent District 19A, which is all of Nicollet County, a good chunk of Mankato, and Kasota in Le Sueur County. When I think about agriculture in my district, there's a lot of I represent a lot of family farmers, a few in Blue Earth County, but mostly, of course, in Nicollet County. And a lot of those family farmers have had that same family on that farm for more than 150 years. And so there's a really strong tradition of agriculture. I represent the city of Mankato, which is a major ag processor. And we're proud of a recent effort called Green Seam, which is an effort in South Central Minnesota to give some focus to agriculture in its many facets in our region, and hope that you get to learn about that a little bit. I see Joe Spintek here from Minnesota Soy. Minnesota Soy and the pork producers both have their state headquarters in my district. I attended Fargo South High School, and I was a Bruin.
Thank you. Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Steve Green. I'm from District 2B. I represent all of Mahnomen County, most of Becker County, bottom third of Clearwater County, and portions of Hubbard and Wadena and Otter Tail as well. Live in Mahnomen County, rural Mahnomen County. My hometown is Fauston, Minnesota. It's actually in Representative Keel's district, but we were the Fauston Greyhounds.
Thank you. Representative Keel.
Good morning. I represent District 1B, which is all of Polk County, all of Red Lake County, and most of Pennington County, aside from Thief River Falls, which Representative Fabian represents. I farm, and I'm one of the few farmers here, and have the honor of being the only sugar beet grower in the area, and that is a large, we are part of a cooperative, our farm, that is the largest sugar beet producer in the United States. I'm very proud of that fact, and so when you're enjoying sugar, most likely came from Minnesota's American Crystal. Anyway, there are two other plants in Minnesota. One, well, actually, Wahpeton is in, Mindac is in North Dakota, and Renville. So, and the sugar is all marketed together. So, I also raise wheat and soybeans, and my son informs me we may start corn this year. Did it a couple years ago, and he wants to try it again. As long as it's not by my yard, I'm good. Otherwise, corn leaves in my yard are a pain in the fall. So, but that's okay. Anyway, and nice that it produces. So I'm thrilled to be here and look forward to an exciting year.
Thank you. Representative Mahoney.
I'll just say ash leaves are a pain in my yard. When they're in my yard in the fall, are a pain. So, yeah, the 25 bags of them every year. I'm Representative Tim Mahoney. My district is about 4 miles from here. I have spent the last 18 years not on ag, and it's going to be an interesting time. Good place to learn many things. The rural economy, I've heard nothing but complaints over the last while, so I figure this is a good place to learn about it.
Well, we're happy you're here. Welcome. So, Representative Lean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, everybody. My name is Ben Lean. I'm from District 4A, which is primarily the city of Moorhead. I do have one township just north of me, and I went to Moorhead High School. We were the Spuds, and so Representative Johnson, it's a good thing we're friends, because Moorhead-Fargo, we'd be rivals otherwise. And, Mr. Chair, I do have to say you're sharply and appropriately dressed today to get that award. I see you've got the FFA colors on, so... Good to be here.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Representative Clark, we'll move over to this side. Get the members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm Karen Clark, State Representative in South Minneapolis. I represent 4 inner city neighborhoods. And one of the issues that I've been really pleased to work with you, Mr. Chairman, and others on in this committee is the Urban Agriculture Bill's effort. And I'm looking forward to doing that again this year.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome. Yeah. Representative Acklin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Rob Eklund. I represent 3A, which is all of northeastern Minnesota. I have Coochin County, all of Cook County, most of Lake County, and part of northern St. Louis County. I'm a proud graduate of International Falls High School, the Broncos. That's where I still live. That's the largest city in my district. And with the size of my districts, I don't dare try to name all the towns because I'm sure I'll miss some. So anyway, our largest agricultural product is trees. Two young ladies asked me how much wood we use in our paper mill last night, and I told them I'd have the answer for them in the morning. It's 2,000 cords a day, which turns out to be a little over 700,000 cords a year. So that's our agriculture product. And organic agriculture is getting to be a growing force in northeast Minnesota, so I will be interested in working on some of those issues.
Thank you. Representative Barr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Cal Barr, 31B. That's all contained in Anoka County, Ham Lake, East Ethel, Linwood, Columbus. We do have a little dairy. Most of ours is organic, I guess. There's a couple of organic farms that got recognized this year in our area by the Farm Bureau. My connections to agriculture, I grew up on a one-cow farm, so any of you dairy farmers know exactly how many vacations you got with one dairy cow, and that was, I got to put a pretty good grip in high school from that cow. There was a beef cow that filled the freezer every fall and one calf, so it was basically the smallest family farm you could possibly come up with. And my continuing connection to agriculture is hauling finished product to market. I'm in the transportation business for the last 27 years, mostly beef, pork, going to the West Coast, and produce coming back to the Central Midwest.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, and yes, I'm a transplant from Illinois, so my mascot was the I went to the Stockton Blackhawks.
All right. Thank you. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and my name is Rick Hansen. I represent South St. Paul, home of the Packers, that used to be the largest packing house and stockyards in the country. Now has one butcher your own Hmong Somali ethnic butcher shop, which that would be a good tour, Mr. Mm-hmm. Chair. It's very close.
Right.
I wore a blue jacket in high school and participated in parliamentary procedure, which is probably the reason I'm here with a microphone today. The blue jacket doesn't quite fit anymore, Mr. Chair. I don't know what happened. I think they do shrink over time. I just want to let you know that. And I wore a blue jacket that said on the back, Freeborn High School in Freeborn County, and it was the Freeborn Yeoman. Where it was, and it doesn't exist anymore. I own farmland there with my brother, and then also own farmland between Representative Poppy's current and past homes in Fillmore County, involved in agriculture.
Thank you. Representative Juergens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Tony Juergens. I represent District 54B, which is a southeast suburb of Cottage Grove, Hastings, Afton, and then two townships, Ninninger Township and Denmark Township. And I wouldn't normally point this out that this is my first term, but since this is my very first committee meeting, I figured I would point that out. I grew up in Watertown, South Dakota, farming community. I did not grow up on a farm, although my grandfather was a farmer, so I spent a lot of time out there. And so that was my main reason for asking to be a part of this committee, is my growing up in a farming community and having a lot of farmland in my district. And I graduated from Watertown High School. We were the Watertown Arrows.
Thank you, and welcome. So Representative
Poston.
Poston.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members. My name is John Poston, and I represent District 9A, which is in north central Minnesota, southern Cass County, most of Todd County, and a big piece of Wadena County. I grew up a farm kid in Iowa. I was an FFA member in the, I guess it was probably in 1969 through a couple years in the early 70s. And I'm really happy to be on this committee. It was one of the first committees I asked to be on, and I'm also on the policy committee. I went to school in a little town in Iowa called Earlham, and we were the Earlham Cardinals.
Thank you, and welcome. So, Representative Pierce.
Best for last?
Best.
You didn't even say it, though. I feel like I shouldn't have had to bring it up.
You're using the staff, and that's the...
Oh, very good. Well, then it is true. My name is Representative Nels Pearson. I, too,
was an FFA member. I think last year I rambled off the creed first paragraph, but I'll spare you that today. I grew up on a dairy farm in a town called Butterfield, Minnesota, and just a small Guernsey operation, which is still near and dear to my heart. So currently, my wife and I are actually exploring getting back into agriculture through aquaponics. So I may have more in common with some of our urban agriculture interests as we look to develop that in and near Rochester, Minnesota, which is where I represent about 14 of the 18 townships in Olmsted County. So I cover a portion of the city of Rochester, but Stuartville and a couple smaller towns, Dover, Yoda, Chatfield, that have FFA chapters as well. The Butterfield was combined in schools with Mountain Lake, so we're the Mountain Lake Butterfield Odin Wolverines.
That's right. That's where my children went to school. So, and now we'll move to Mr. Nisley.
Mark Nisley, committee administrator. I'm looking forward to working with all of you. I'm a former FFA member as well at Palmyra High School, Palmyra, Nebraska, home of the Mighty Panthers.
Thank you. And I should have started by saying we couldn't do the work that we do without the great staff that we have around us. So if I could jump to this side, Rachel.
Hello, my name is Rachel. I am the committee and legislative assistant. I actually went to two different high schools, so I am both a Marshall Senior High School Tiger as well as a Tartan High School Titan. And I did not know the difference between a tractor and a combine until I started dating my now husband, and I have slowly worked my way up to now I actually can combine a cornfield. So,
yeah, very nice. Maybe you can teach Representative Erdahl. Representative Erdahl.
I'm back here by popular demand.
Right?
So my first right. 4 years in legislature I was here, and then they put me off other places.
Yeah, we wanted you back, Dean. We wanted you back. So,
Mr. Chairman, Brian Perro, House GOP research staff. I was at Proud Hopkins Royal here in the Twin Cities.
All right. Thank you. So, Ms. Connolly.
I am Nancy Connolly with DFL Research, and I graduated from Montgomery High School, the Redbirds.
And any more events where you jump into the ice-cold water?
I saw the Polar Plunge was advertising, and I'm giving it some thought.
All right. So every year.
If somebody wants to egg me on.
I'm egging you on right now.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I've done it the last 2 years. I can tell you that it would be wonderful for you to do it again this year. I'm not sure where you'd be doing it, but you should
Representative Miller, there's a picture that'll surface once in a while of Ms. Connolly, so it's great with her Polar Plunge outfit. So
I hope that my picture of my Polar Plunge outfit does not show up, Mr. Chair, because I had a bet last year that if I raised $500 that I'd do it nothing but a Speedo, and I raised about $540. So
we hope that picture doesn't
We hope that us. Never surfaces.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm losing all control. Representative Erdahl.
I might add that I can verify that Representative Miller did do the Polar Plunge because...
Don't tell me you're there in the same outfit.
No, I did jump in about the same time, though. I had him on the phone, and I was in Florida.
All right, let's go back to introduction, shall we? So, Sullivan, or where should we go here?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Colby Sullivan, and I work for the House Research Department. And like the chair and Representative Poston, I'm from Iowa. I graduated from Abraham Lincoln High School in Council Bluffs, and we were the Abraham Lincoln Lynx, LYNX.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Ken Savory from the Nonpartisan Fiscal Analysis Department here in the House. I grew up in the Southern Connecticut, essentially, long story short, New York City metro area, and I'm a Shelton Gale, which is essentially a Viking.
Very nice. Right? It was meant to be. And we do have a page. Yes, can you introduce yourself, too, please?
Greetings, Mr. Chair. I am Franklin Berg, and I am a Stillwater Pony. I'm a committee page.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for being here. So, Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to note there's a bit of an imbalance on the committee because when it comes to gender. But in the audience, in the FFA members, there is less of an imbalance. And so I'm just inviting all of you young women who are leaders already, and I love your all-in motto, and I would just encourage you to look around and see yourselves here, because we need more women in the legislature. We need more women on this committee, and you would fit right in. And also I wanted to comment that many of the gentlemen here said that they wore blue jackets. I was not able to wear a blue jacket because women were not allowed in FFA. So I appreciate that we have come a long way. We have a little bit further to go, as evidenced by the gender imbalance. But we welcome you, and I'm glad to see that you're engaged and involved, and hopefully you will run for office, and you will sit in these seats someday. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Nicely done. Thank you, Representative Poppy. Do we have Representative Clark?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I apparently missed the instructions about what we were supposed to say when we introduced ourselves, so I just don't want to miss this opportunity.
Yes.
Because I graduated from Edgerton Public High School in southwestern Minnesota, and I don't know how many people here might remember what that school did in 1960. I was, okay, might even know the names of the teams, but that's when we had only one level of basketball teams. There wasn't an A or an AA or AAA. It was only one in that little tiny town, about 1,000 people. We won the state high school basketball tournament.
That is fantastic.
And you beat Austin.
You had.
We did.
Yeah. Jerry Anderson, do you have a comment to that?
You know, Representative Clark, my wife is from that area as well. Kenneth was her hometown, and we stopped in Edgerton.
Did you say Kenneth?
Yeah.
Well, that's where my parents lived. Okay.
But the basketball fan, Edgerton, right? Is kind of a mecca, that a town that small,
yes,
could win the state championship, knocking off some big city schools. And I've read some books about it, and
yes,
and the fans, I think, went as far as Mankato to see the game on TV or something, but just an amazing story. So hats off to you from Edgerton.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Representative Clark.
And that meant that I was a farm kid. Thank you. We have some stuff to talk about. I can tell now.
Oh, so Representative Clark, what was your mascot again?
It was a Flying Dutchman.
Oh. Right, that's fitting, right? Representative Mahoney.
I was a city kid, so I won't go into which big city, you know, basketball team was picking on somebody. But just to relate, I had to go spend at least 2 or 3 weeks out on the family farm every summer and be picked on as the city slicker, the dumb one. Oh, go shovel that pile, not telling me that it was cow manure until I got to it. I can go down the whole list of how they picked on us big city slickers, so, but I won't. Yeah. I didn't deserve any of it.
I'm sure you did not.
All of the members here know I'm a sweet, congenial, get-along kind of guy. I haven't changed at all.
That's why we wanted you on our committee. Yeah, absolutely. And what was your high school mascot? That was a long time ago, I know.
The Knights or something like that.
Representative Keel.
It occurred to me, I forgot to say my mascot. I was born and raised in Crookston and stayed there, so it's Crookston Pirates.
All right. So. Thank you. So, did we get all that out of our system? Yeah. Jeez, and this is great. You know, it's an honor to chair this committee. It's a fantastic committee to serve on, and next on the agenda is the rules, right? And myself, Representative Poppy, has gone through them. Also, we don't have to vote on these. I just want all the members to know that they're there. And, you know, I know myself and Mr. Knisely, we do have a few disagreements once in a while. And Representative Clark, with your permission, I'd like to share a little story. Maybe I should have talked to you beforehand, but So the rules. I remember when Representative Clark went into Mr. Knisley's office and had an amendment. And Mark said, you didn't meet the 24-hour rule, so we were not going to offer up that amendment. So Representative Clark came into the office that I occupied and said, I have this amendment. You know, can we offer it up? And I said, sure. And so she goes back into Mr. Knisley's office, and within 2 minutes, Mark was coming in to the office that I occupy and unloaded on me. So we have good cop and bad cop here, right? Right, Mark? So my point is, we do have rules, right? And with the 24-hour rule, we do that out of respect to staff and whatnot also. However, I like to have some flexibility too. When we hit the end of session, sometimes it gets pretty hectic. And if there's some good ideas that we want to bring forward, I like to have some flexibility too. So I just want to throw that out there.
That'd be rule number 9.
And that is rule number 9. But I also want to say that it will be in consultation with the minority lead also, if we're going to do stuff like that. So, all right. Any questions on the rules? We do have another member that came up. So, first of all, any questions on the rules? Otherwise, just go ahead and put that in your save folder in case you ever need to revert back to it. And now I'd like to call on Representative Schumacher. Representative Schumacher, we went around and did introductions, where you represent, where you grew up, and your high school mascot.
Thank you, Chair Hamilton. Joe Schumacher, born and raised in Laverne, home of the mighty Laverne Cardinals.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So I think we made it through all the introductions and everything, correct? We did the rules. Now if we could have somebody from the department. Ms. Place, is that you? Or who's going to be going through that? Savory. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'll refer to you in your package. You'll have a deck of slides entitled Legislative Financing and Budget Issues. Over the next approximately 15 or so minutes, I'll go through these slides. They generally are a high-level overview of some of the budget and finance issues that the Ag Finance Committee usually takes up in the during the legislative year. We'll start with essentially an overview of the overall budget, meaning what the large picture view of the state budget looks like and how that's changed over the last 25, 30 years. We'll then talk about the accounts within the under the committee's jurisdiction, and then talk a little bit more about some general terms that you'll often see come up in presentations, and finally finish off with just some talking points about the November general fund forecast. So starting on page 2 in the packet, you'll see essentially a pie chart of the entire state budget as it stands following the enaction of the last piece of the biennial budget in 2016. If you'll note in the lower left-hand corner, you'll see the 1.1% that's devoted to environment and agriculture. Typically, or in some cases, the Environment Committee and the Ag Committee have been pushed together as one conference committee, so that's why those are showed in one essential piece of the pie. You'll note, too, that the state budget is the pie is divided up in several different ways, usually in the committee structure in which the pieces come together in the omnibus bills. Most notably, you'll see in the upper right-hand corner or 1 o'clock, you'll see a note for the K-12 education, which is a substantial part of the budget. And then in the lower left-hand corner, kind of next to the environment and ag piece, you'll see the health and human services piece of the budget. And those are the two primary pieces of the budget, and some would say drivers of the budget. As other areas of the budget increase, there's less room and less space for other areas of the budget to grow and or go down.
Representative Mahone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the fiscal staff. As you combine environment and ag, what's the split between the two committees? I understand that they're combined on occasions, but do you know whether it's an even-steven split or 60-40?
Mr. Chair and members, I can't recall if it's an actual even split, but I'll have to look into that and get those numbers back to you.
Okay, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the debt service on capital projects, 3.5%, how much is that?
I am not sure how much, Mr. Chairman members, I'm not sure how much exactly that is. I can get back to you with that specific number if that's helpful.
All All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? Savory, please continue.
Flipping over to slide 3 of the presentation, you'll see essentially the same pie chart, but a few years back. So this is the 06-07 biennium. And you'll see that the amount for agriculture and environment has stayed largely the same at about 1.3%. You'll see other pieces of the budget have either gone down a little bit or there's been some shifting here and there. The pie charts are generally comparable. The budget was organized in a pretty similar fashion back in 06-07. As you go back into the earlier years of the budget, you'll see that different parts of the budget were conferenced with different components back probably from the 1990s and earlier. So some of it is difficult to kind of break out and trace back. Flipping over again, you'll see kind of the final pie chart in the progressions. This goes all the way back to the 88-89 biennium or 88-89 session biennium. And you'll see that pieces of the pie compared to the other two pie charts have changed. You'll see K-12 is different. You'll see Health and Human Services is different. You'll see the overall number for the state budget is different. Just a comparison with that. So you'll probably notice, too, that back then there was no the way the House and the Senate were organized, it was kind of difficult to pull ag out. And this is one of the older graphs I had to go back to and pull back from a presentation from quite some time ago. And actually, ag and environment, or ag in this particular case, is within the state government area. It's about 3:30, 4 o'clock, or sorry, on the other side of the clock, in the left-hand corner, about the middle. You'll see state government at about 4.8%. So flipping over to the next part of the presentation on slide 5, this is essentially a line chart of agriculture-specific spending within state government for the last handful of years. It goes back all the way from the 1990 all the way up to fiscal years 18 and 19, which are projections based on current law. And what I mean by that is if the committee decides not to change any appropriations upward or downward, this is the projection where the spending would go forward to in 18 and 19. And obviously there will be changes, I would suspect, as the year progresses, but that's where we are kind of right now.
Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, would staff know what was the spike in 2001? That looks like a $25 million spike, what that might have been?
Representative Mahoney, I believe if memory would serve me correctly, that would be the beginning of the ethanol producer payments.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Chair, you're remembering that correctly. Ethanol producer payments occurred from about 2000, 2001, or maybe a year before. I'll have to check the numbers on that. But that program did increase the overall budget area quite significantly over time. And as you'll see, that you'll see a peak in the early 2000s, kind of goes down over time, and then it levels off to where there are no payments as of right now. Additionally, to the representative's point, there are some other peaks and valleys within that. You obviously see and kind of remember the state of the economy in 08, 09, 10, and 11. With that, there were decisions made to reductions in overall state government, and ag was definitely part of that. Additionally, you'll see there were investments made as we come out of the recession. And part of that, too, if you think about it, would be dollars related to avian flu. There were significant dollars put towards that in the last handful of years or regard to the avian flu crisis 2 years ago. If you flip the page, I'll just remind members the various accounts within the ag finance area. So that obviously there is the Department of Agriculture, which includes the Rural Finance Authority, the Animal Health Board or Board of Animal Health, the Agricultural Utilization Research Board, or as it's referred to in this committee, AURI, and then also the Horticultural Society, which hasn't received appropriations from this committee in a handful of years, but often is a grant, they receive pass-through grants from the Department of Agriculture. So just a note there.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think as we go on, the Board of Animal Health would be an interesting, and maybe that's a joint thing with the Environment Committee. I just was seeing that there were two more positive deer found with CWD within the zone, and so the consequence and cost, public costs for dealing with this, probably is something of an urgency to look at.
Thank you, Rep. Hansen. And Mr. Knisley has just informed me that he's in the process of scheduling that. So thank you. Any other questions? Mr. Savory.
Mr. Chair, I'll flip the slide over to page 7, where I'll go over the agricultural finance accounts. So generally, or speaking generally, the committee will deal mostly with the general fund, which is the largest repository of state tax receipts in the state treasury. It's the fund we'll deal with most often in this committee, and the fund that most often that agencies will talk about when they talk about bills. Additionally, we have the agriculture fund, which is a fund set up by various fee-based programs within state government related to agriculture. Remediation fund, which is a fund related to the cleanup of Superfund sites and various other environmental related activities. Federal funds are pretty self-explanatory, other than that there is a federal funds procedure within state or within the legislature to allow those funds to be released. Often chairs of various committees will be contacted during times when the legislature is not in session, when state agencies receive funds and they have to certify that they would like those funds to go forward and give them the due discretion. Additionally, our last fund is the Special Revenue Fund, which is essentially a miscellaneous grouping of funds within the state treasury, receives various fee-based programs and essentially other miscellaneous operations within state government. Flipping over one more slide to page 8, I'll just briefly go over some terminology we'll be using within the committee over the next handful of months. Most commonly, we'll be dealing with a direct appropriation from the general fund. And just a reminder, a direct appropriation is essentially an appropriation of general fund dollars or other dollars for a specific time period or a specific use within the biennium. So there'll be direct appropriations to all of the agencies that I just listed off, Department of Ag, Board of Animal Health, AURI, and that'll be the most common appropriation type we deal with. Additionally, we'll be dealing with statutory appropriations. Statutory appropriations are a little bit different in that they're within state statute. Therefore, if the legislature, or in particular this committee, does not decide to change those appropriations continue as if nothing has been changed. So if the committee decides not to touch certain statutory appropriations, they will continue ongoing as they normally do. Most of these statutory appropriations in this committee refer to appropriations made to the department for fees, things of that nature. I'm sure the department in their budget presentation will go over a little more fully how those statutory appropriations work and what is contained within them. Flipping over to page 9, one final appropriation type that we sometimes deal with in this committee, but it's not very common, generally referred to as an open appropriation. It's a form of a statutory appropriation where the level of funding necessary to fulfill the obligation is made available in the fiscal year. So meaning that think about items like something on a formula basis for K-12 funding, the amount of appropriate dollars needed to do that function is appropriated on an ongoing general basis, open basis. The last several slides are just kind of a high-level overview and review of agricultural spending and agricultural appropriations over the last 2 years. So the state's on a biennial cycle, meaning they budget for 2 years at a time. So we'll start with a 2015 session overview. Generally, these charts are really kind of easy to read, and that there's a left-hand side, which contains all of the agencies in which the committee or the state legislature has appropriated dollars. Moving across the columns, you'll see reference to the February forecast, the most recent forecast before the legislature makes decisions about budgeting. You'll see what the base was, so where the budgeting level starts, and then you'll see the enacted, kind of what came through conference committee and the final bill before it was given to the governor and then signed. Most notably, it's really interesting to look. If you'll look at the third line down, you'll see the avian flu response. So there was approximately $22 million appropriated in the 2015 legislative session to deal with the avian flu. $16.4 million of that went to the agriculture area. And it's not really comparable to any kind of part of the budget because those funds kind of sunset and were one-time dollars. and eventually changed with it, changed in later sessions.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm wondering if staff, I mean, I don't know how many new members are here on the committee, but I'm just wondering if staff could provide the spreadsheets from last year's budget and the itemized thesis to the budget. So maybe we, it's a good exercise for freshmen, and it's a good information for people who've been around a couple of years.
Right. Thank you, Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just real quick question. You said on the avian flu response, the total was about 22 to 24, and 16 was allocated to this. So where the other money go? Maybe I'm misunderstanding the total. Where'd the other money go?
Mr. Savory?
Certainly, Mr. Chair and Representative Miller. There were a variety of state agencies that received an appropriation for avian flu dollars. That $16 million is the chunk that went to within this committee. For example, the Department of Health, the DNR, Department of Public Safety, and the University of Minnesota all received dollars. So just kind of a list of other ones. And as Representative Mahoney noted, I can send spreadsheets to get a better detail of that if members are interested.
Yes, and Representative Mahoney, well, the entire committee, we're going to be doing a deeper dive in all this when we have the Department of Agriculture coming up as well, yeah, in future meetings. Chair Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. This committee, under your leadership, did a lot of work 2 years ago funding the work against the avian influenza. And it's my understanding, talking to some turkey folks last night, that a wild duck was found tested positive in Montana just the last couple of days. So I think there's some concern again, but we're in a lot better shape. I think if anything were to develop again this time, the state is more prepared. But it's something I think we need to be aware of, that there are outbreaks around the world, and one as close now as Montana. So we have to be aware of that.
Thank you. Any other questions? No. Mr. Savory, please continue.
Mr. Chair, I would just point members to the fourth column in that chart on page 10, just the percentage changes from the start of the biennium, or the start of the legislative session, to the end of the final bill. It's a really good perspective just to see how far dollars within the agriculture area can go. As you realize, there's a small portion of the state budget that goes towards ag and environment, or in this case, ag. And because of the dollars influence, you can see a large percentage increase within that area. Flipping over to page 11 is the 2016 session overview. I don't have a lot to kind of go over with this particular one, other than that some of the avian flu dollars were repurposed and sent to different areas within the budget. Also, major policy changes were providing some flexibility to the department to allow those avian flu dollars to be used for a wider array of purposes, not just avian flu, but other animal disasters or animal emergencies. If you go over to page 12, I'll go over the 2016 November forecast. I won't go into this in too much detail. I'm sure some of you have read quite a bit about the November forecast and where we are as a state budget, but just in this particular spreadsheet, just focusing on the agriculture area, we don't have a lot of projected or forecasted programs within the ag area. Therefore, those numbers really haven't fluctuated very much. I would draw members to the middle column for 18 and 19. That's essentially the base for our budget area within agriculture finance. That's essentially where the committee will be starting from as we move forward with the budget process over the next handful of months. Most importantly, if you look at line 26 in the dotted area, that is essentially the total for the total for the budget area. If you're looking for a grand total in terms of general fund dollars, this is a general fund only, so it doesn't include any federal funds or remediation funds or clean water dollars, things of that nature. So just give the committee a little perspective on kind of where we are as we go forward. And then finally, I'll just kind of point to my contact information. As some of you I've worked with before, others I haven't met yet. Looking forward to working with all of you. And if you're ever on the third floor, please feel free to stop by and say hi. And with that, I'll turn it back to the chair.
All right. Thank you. Any questions on that from members? Anyway, Representative Johnson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Savory, my question is on the last spreadsheet. Line number 5, value-added products made a leap in the November forecast. Can you explain why?
Mr. Savory.
Savory?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and Representative Johnson, the way that the appropriations were written for that particular part of the budget is that the appropriation for fiscal year 17 was higher than the appropriation in fiscal year 16. Therefore, the appropriation for fiscal 17 carries into the next part of the biennium. For example, when we often talk about what the tails look like, meaning the out years of the biennium, this is just the out years of the biennium increasing as a larger part of the budget transfers from years from the later last year of the last appropriated biennium to the year we're in now. So the appropriation, what I believe was for a specific program, was like say $4 million, and the last year of the biennium was $8 million. That $8 million, the higher number carries forward, so it tends to increase the tail through the next biennium. So I believe that's the effect of what we're looking at now.
Representative Johnson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. My follow-up question is, can you describe for us what is included in that line?
So value-added, Mr. Chair and members, value-added products, I believe, is the agri part of the Department of Ag and also the new Ag Research and Development Board that was put forward in the last biennial budget in this committee. And I believe appropriations in that particular area for the biennial, but for the new board, were somewhere in the neighborhood of, we're approximately $12.9 million. And that was the split I was talking about, in which the first year was approximately $4.5 million, and the second year was approximately $8.5 million. So that $8.5 carries forward and therefore inflates or increases the next year of the biennium.
President Johnson, follow up.
Okay.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What was the new program that was created, Mr. Chair, or the finalist that I didn't hear the name, so I was just trying to.
Yeah, it is, those dollars were invested for productivity research. Money's going to the University of Minnesota to focus on ag production or productivity. And like Mr. Savory said, initially the first investment was right around $4 million, and then it started ramping up. So it's $8 million per year that's going to the Department of Agriculture and subsequently out to the University of Minnesota for additional research dollars.
And it was, what's the program? Was there a program name to it?
Yeah, AGREET is what we call it. Yeah. So AGREET, right? ETT, excuse me, AGREET. Representative Mahoney?
No?
All right.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Green.
It brings up a question for me, too, because you mentioned an Ag Research and Development Board that's new.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where the $8 million went, just for that board, or is it, what is the expense of that board? Are they spending money? What is the cost for that board?
Yes. So, Representative Green will also be having a hearing on that because it is new. We want the Department of Agriculture and subsequently University of Minnesota to come in and share with that. The board is an advisory board made up of, we'll bring all that information in too, but it's a cross-section of individuals throughout agriculture and some environmental components there as well. And they, in consultation with the University of Minnesota and with the Commissioner of Agriculture, will determine how those dollars are being spent. And but again, we're going to have a hearing on that. So, in the near future. All right, Representative Mahoney.
I've got some questions about it. I don't want to get too deep into it, but could you schedule? Got to make sure I get the name right. The AURI at the same time, before or after? So, because it seems like they're kind of supposed to be doing the same thing. One's research and the other is research. And get this cross-pollination.
Well,
I don't want to get too deep into it here.
No, I'm glad to bring that up because they don't do the same work, and we want to make sure that that's very clear. We do have AURI and the Board of Animal Health scheduled Thursday. It's a joint meeting. And then Commissioner Fredrickson's coming in after that. And then we will, like I said, bring these various entities in here, and we're going to go through those budgets with fine-tooth comb. So, right, any other questions? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, talking $1 million here, $1 million there. I think one of the things that we talked about last year, which hasn't gone away, is I think there's $0 left for Emerald Ash Borer invasive species. There is no federal money anymore. And the bugs are still munching away. So I think that's something we need to talk about. I, you know, last year expressed that it'd be important to keep those, that jurisdiction in this committee, as the pest has not been established yet. So I think it's the responsibility of the Ag Committee, and hopefully we can find some way of getting funds for that.
Well, thank you, Representative Hansen. I know you've been a strong advocate for that. And I was visiting with Chair Anderson, too. We have some new pressures when it comes to invasive species, in particular weeds. And so we're going to take a hard look at that as well. Yeah, thank you. Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to tag on Representative Hansen, just last week I found out one of the largest landowner in Coochin County has 14,000 acres of ash forest. So the Emerald Ash Borer is definitely a concern that needs to be addressed in this committee. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Chair Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. Savory, just a quick explanation of line 19, the available balance for Board of Animal Health at $1 million. Is that part of line 21, and what would that be available for?
Savory.
Mr. Chair and members, I am not sure on that particular line. I think that might be an appropriate question when the board comes to the committee going on the next handful of days.
Any other questions, members? Savory, does that wrap it up? All right. No other questions for Mr. Savory? Seeing none. Moving forward, like I said, I gave you a little bit of a roadmap here. We do have a joint meeting coming up to focus on AURI, Board of Animal Health, the MARL program, and others. On Tuesday, January, is that 11th? Or 17th, excuse me. Commissioner Fredrickson's coming in to address us also. And like I said, we're going to do a much deeper dive into all these accounts. So with that, any other updates? Mr. Maisley? No other date? All right. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you.